It is already the last Friday of the month, and time again for KSJD's monthly Veterans Affairs program. This morning, KSJD's Tom Yoder talks with Montezuma County Veterans Service Officer Rick Torres for a review of how local veterans fared in 2017 and a look ahead to possible changes vets could see this year.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for being here again.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Well, as Austin just said, we're going to take a look back at 2017, and we're going to look at some of the developments that happened over the last year that really benefited veterans. Let's just get right into it. What are some of the things that you saw or some of the things that you found out that were really important for vets in 2017?
Sure. There was a lot that happened last year. What I have is some notes from an article. I'm going to give credit to Florida Today article in their business section from December last month, and many things happened last year. One of the big things that happened was the Whistleblower Protection Act of 2017 was signed into law, and what that's going to do is going to make it easier for whistleblowers to bring up things that are going on within the VA, quite frankly, that veterans get frustrated with, but now people within the VA that see these things happening can complain, bring it up to their leadership without fear of getting fired, whether it's misconduct or improvements, and also how to save money. So that was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that the VA established, Secretary Shulkin, was the Veterans Complaint Hotline that was established. Now, there was already a system in place for the OIG, the Office of Inspector General, where people can do complaints. And actually, I've helped a veteran do one electronically, and you can do those anonymously, or you can identify yourself and have the VA OIG office contact you. And that's also another way of providing information about fraud, waste, abuse, misconduct. But there are several hotline numbers. It's not just one. There's so many different parts of the VA that there's actually multiple parts or multiple phone numbers.
Yeah, that's important stuff for sure. We also saw some changes to the unemployment rates for veterans in 2017.
Yeah, over time, what's been happening is, you know, that's always been a big push with the federal government, is to try to help not just the general population with jobs and work and improving their lives, but veterans saw that they're, as at the end of October, according to this article, veteran unemployment rates fell down to 2.7%, which is actually not bad, and hopefully heading in the right direction. We'll see what happens. Anything can happen.
Sure.
You know, worldwide events, you know, things in Korea, you know, who knows what can happen with the economy. But that was a good news there for veterans.
We also saw a little bit of change to the Veterans Choice Program as well in 2017. What happened with that?
Well, the Choice Program, what they did was they signed into law, it's called the Veterans Choice Program Extension and Improvement Act. And what it did was it improved the 2014 program that allows eligible veterans to receive care, health care, outside of the VA and use their private non-VA doctors. So
that's really important here in rural areas, of course, where we don't have that access to those VA hospitals that are not close by.
Right. I can tell you a lot of our veteran clients that come to see Sarah, John, and I, we help them navigate this program because sometimes, you know, it still can be frustrating how to navigate the maze. And that's what we do in our office. Come by and see us on the corner of West Montezuma and North Chestnut.
Always plenty of bureaucracy, too, on navigating.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And what happens is we get to know the people within the system and the bureaucracy. We know who to call for you and try to get that ball rolling so you can get your consult to go to a local provider, like let's say audiology or optometry, for example, instead of having to travel all the way to Albuquerque or all the way up to Grand Junction VA Medical Center. So we can help you guys with that.
All right. And kind of alongside that, there was also a new electronic health record system that was put into place. How is that benefiting vets right now?
Yeah, the VA is constantly, well, let me preface this. You know, there's always people out there trying to hack the government and trying to get into their computers and grab data, you know, and probably does happen from time to time. So what the VA is always trying to do is modernize the veterans and providers' ability to gain electronic records and secure those same electronic records. There is something called My Healthy Vet. I've actually used it, where you can go online, communicate through a secure, I don't know, I'm not a computer guy, but securely. Hopefully, it is encrypted. So your doctor and nurse gets the data or receive the data, and then they call you or they'll email you through that secure system. So they're always looking at ways to protect, secure, and enhance their electronic system of you, the veteran, communicating with your VA providers. So, and that's probably going to be an ongoing thing as technology evolves.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit about disability benefit claims and the Veterans Appeals Improvement and Modernization Act, which also happened in 2017.
Yeah, that was back in August. And what's going on there is a little bit of backstory. If you file a VA claim, which we do all the time, and not to brag, but we win a lot of our claims, the majority of them we win. However, at some point, the veteran is not happy with the decision. We will always try to reopen the claim and win it on the second go around. But in those rare instances where you have to do an appeal, the appeal process, it's an adjudicatory process that can take 4 to 5 years before you get a decision from a judge or a VA decision review officer. It could take many, many years. So what the administration, Secretary Shulkin is doing is they're putting their heads together, try to figure out a way to streamline the process, fast track it, and veterans can get their appeals heard much sooner and not have to wait 4 or 5 years. Right now, the only way you're gonna get your claim expedited is if your appeal is if you're terminally ill, homeless, or at risk of becoming homeless. Mm. So yeah, we'll see what's going to happen. I'm going to go to a training up in Westminster, Colorado in April. I do that every year. And that's going to be one of the topics they're going to talk to us about, how to better help our veterans here with this new program of appeals.
Yeah, sounds like a move in the right direction for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about education benefits too for vets that that changed in 2017.
Yeah, that was a big one here for the post 9/11 GI Bill. For example, like what it was is the veterans that are getting out now, their education benefits were going up for 15 years. They had 15 years to use it or lose it. At the end of 15 years, they could not use that benefit unless they could prove there was some sort of hardship, like they were tending to a terminally ill loved one and therefore they could not go to school. So what they've done is they've expanded this program where they're for the dependents. They're going to boost $3 billion into that program over the next 10 years. And it's going to allow the veterans and those that can provide, in other words, transfer their benefit to their spouse or children, where the veteran's family or the vet can use that benefit indefinitely. They've no time limit. So, you know, life happens. You get out of the military. You are trying to find work. You're trying to establish families. You just didn't have the opportunity to go to school. So they're looking to they took away that limiting factor, the delimiting date.
Yeah, that's good because sometimes you decide later on, hey, you know what? I want to go get a degree or something like that. And you've got that opportunity.
So right. And I've had veterans like that from Vietnam era. They had 10 under the old GI Bill. That's what I was under. You had 10 years to use your benefit. And after the 10 years, if you didn't use it,
you lost it.
The government keeps the money that they were going to use for your education.
All right. I guess there's a new app out too called VA Connect. What is that all about?
Okay. VA Connect, what that is it especially helpful to our veterans here. And it allows veterans to do telehealth. Like, for example, I do telehealth. And I go to Moab and I see a doctor. She's up in Grand Junction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're able to communicate and she does her exam that way. The nurse is in the room with you, but the doctor's remotely. She's somewhere else. What this app is supposed to be able to do, I've not used this yet, by the way, it allows veterans, especially in rural areas, to go on their laptops from home or their phones and do telehealth, communicate with their provider, their nurse, remotely from their home. So now I wouldn't even have to theoretically travel up to Moab to see a doctor hundreds of miles to go see a doctor.
Yeah.
Now this is probably especially helpful for mental health. You keep talking to your VA doctor or a provider.
Like a therapy session or something like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's where it'd probably be most helpful. I doubt that this would be used for your annual physical because during your annual physical, they got to draw blood, they check your lungs, they check your heart, and the doctor's listening to it remotely. I doubt that they were that set up where they can do that from your home.
The internet's not that good quite yet.
Not
to
yet.
Draw blood, thank God.
Not yet.
All right. Well, let's take a look ahead into 2018, Rick, and let's talk about what are some things that might be changing. I understand that there may be some changes coming to the Choice program, but it's a little unclear right now.
Yeah, the things that I would look out for in 2018 is with the Choice program. I've had a few phone calls from vets. They've heard that the Choice program is going away. What I tell them is yes and no. They're still looking at ways to improve it. What I believe the VA is leaning towards doing is taking control of those funds, like they used to have many years ago, by the way. It's going back to the way it was, where they would then pay the providers. They would do the consults, which they do now. The only difference is they farm it out to a insurance company to hire a doctor. Then the doctor gets paid after they're authorized to do the whatever healthcare procedure or process. What they're looking at doing is possibly taking back control of it, where they have the funds in the VA, not to the insurance companies, and they do the consults, they do the requests, the providers are told how to bill, and then VA keeps track of everything. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'll go to training in April. You know, undoubtedly, somebody from Denver will talk about that.
Yeah, and it sounds like the Choice program is just one of those things that's kind of evolving, and they're still trying to figure it out. But at least it's something that's in place so that vets can go see their local doctors instead of having to travel so far. So Ultimately, it's still a good thing.
Right, and no matter how frustrated our vets get, come and see us. We do this all the time. I've lost hair over it. and we'll navigate this with you and for you. We'll make the phone calls. We'll send the faxes. And we'll get the ball rolling so that you can get established with a non-VA procedure, whether it's glasses or hearing aids, whatever it is you're looking for.
Okay. Rick, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for being here again.
Thanks for having me.
That's Rick Torres. He is the Montezuma County Veterans Service Officer. You've been listening to KSJD's Veterans Affairs Program. I'm Tom Yoder.